Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Well, Mary from Long Island said, I'm so disappointed in so many of you when it comes to questioning Erica. Crystal, you were quiet. Kyle, you were a kiss ass. Dorit, you were duplicitous. Why didn't any of you ask the tough questions?
I asked. I said, did you know any of this before? I asked so many questions that I felt bad.
The obvious question is, did you know any of this?
No, I did not.
You said.
But you never accused me of lying.
Never.
And that was my big issue. That's why I had such a breakdown at Kathy's. You know me. You can pick up the phone and you can say, girl, the
got it.
Part four of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. We finally made it to the end, and I believe that they saved the best for last.
Just when I thought a chance had passed, you go and save the best for last.
I love that song. Vanessa Williams, a queen, an icon, and a legend. You guys, I thought this was thrilling. And that clip that I played for you at the beginning of this episode was from Andy asked a question. Mary from Long Island said, and I just got to talk about Mary from Long Island for at least 25 minutes, because that woman, whoever wrote in that question to Andy and to Bravo about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I applaud that woman, because she just had the balls. Finally, Mary from Long Island, somebody had the balls to come out and say, Kyle, you were a kiss ass. Krista, you were quiet. Dorit, you were duplicitous. Mary from Long Island, she was over it all. She had enough. Mary from Long Island simply had enough, and she hopped on over to Facebook or wherever you send in your question, I don't know, an email form, whatever it was. She called up Bravo HQ and was like, listen, I'm Mary from Long Island and I got something to say. And she did have something to say. She said, look, Kyle's being a kiss ass all season. And honestly, Mary from Long Island's the first person to finally say it, but now we said it, because we're all sitting here watching this show for a whole season, 20 some episodes. I feel like this was the longest season of all time, and I loved every second of it. Give me even more episodes. I'm not ready for it to end. I'm just saying, we've had 100 fucking episodes. And as we're all watching, of course, we're all shouting at the TV screen, because Kyle will say one thing in one scene with somebody else, she'll laugh with the husband, and then when she's sitting next to Erica, she'll be like, well, Sutton's got some questions. And it's like, well, what's going on? And then she seems to be kissing Erica's ass when she's in the scene with her. And so I've been waiting for Andy to really say at this reunion, and Andy's been doing a great job. I want to applaud Andy, because I think this is one of his best reunion performances. However, it's really Mary from Long Island who gets the mazel of the week or whatever for me, because she just had enough. She was over the bullshit. She hopped on over to Facebook and said, look, Kyle, you were being a kiss ass. Dorit, you're duplicitous. She got the word of the day calendar. You know, I talked about that on the show a couple weeks ago or last week or whatever. Mary from Long Island got that word of the day calendar, and she wanted to use duplicitous in her question over to Bravo Real Housewives Beverly Hills Reunion. And she did. She did it flawlessly. Mary, we love you. Mary, Mary, Mary. We love Mary. You know, I love Mary here on Everything Iconic. Mary, of course, from The Real House of Salt Lake City, a wild card. And now Mary from Long Island. I would like to see a whole Housewives franchise around Mary from Long Island, because she's over the shit, as we all are. So, look, I thought this was a thrilling conclusion. It was mostly just Andy grilling Erica, which they sort of like pieced out a little bit throughout the other three parts. But this was like a full hour of just Andy asking her questions. And I have more questions I don't really quite understand. You guys heard in that clip, Bamboozled Jane was saying, oh, you guys knew me. You could have picked up the phone and called. It's like, well, every time they did question anything, you just yelled at them and you got all scary. But I feel like she's trying to trip everyone up. I feel like every time somebody asks like a valid question, then she asks them questions to try to trip them up. And I don't know. I would be, of course, I would sit back. I would be like, okay, I'm done fucking asking you questions because I'd be exhausted by it. I'm not interested in dealing with someone like that. I wouldn't be good at it. But that's why I'm not a housewife. I'm not on one of these shows. But I need someone like Mary or somebody else to come in. Even there was a moment in this reunion where Andy said something about Camille, tweeted something about your waterproof mascara. And I was thinking, maybe we need to get Camille back in there. I didn't even love Camille on the show the time she was on. Remember, she was given that unhinged reunion performance. I don't remember what that was, what the fuck was going on there. But I was watching this final part of the reunion. I'm like, maybe we need to get Camille in there. Maybe we need to get someone. We need another wild card because, again, I say they're all in cahoots. And God bless, they're all friends, but I need someone who's not in cahoots because I feel like we're not getting anywhere with the cast that's all in cahoots. And so I would just hope maybe we throw Camille back in there for at least a party or something. I'm not saying we need Camille Donatacci back full time. I don't think she needs to hold a diamond. I'm just saying let's get Camille in there for a dinner party at the Buca de Beps, right? Like throw her in there. Just give her a stipend of $1,000 or whatever they got to give her, whatever they got to pay the woman, to just hop in front of frame and say, look, I got these questions. This is fucked up. And then throw them at her because it seems like no one's going to be asking no questions next season. And they're all in cahoots and we love them. We love them. This has been a great season. Again, a great season. So I'm just saying, though, maybe we need somebody else in there, a wild card, because as this wrapped and they were all cheersing with Kathy's butlers came out and gave them all a cocktail, I was like, uh-oh. I thought, uh-oh. We need someone else in there to ask the tough questions. Maybe get a lawyer. Wouldn't that be great? Andy was on The View. And I don't know if you guys saw his appearance on The View. He's got the new book out, which I love, a quote of the day book. I got that book. I'm excited. It's called Glitter Every Day. But he was on The View promoting it. And Sonny Hostin, who's one of the panelists on The View. You know, I love my View. I love The View. Sonny said they're going to be asking for all the tapes because Sonny Hostin was in that documentary that was on Hulu called The Housewife and the Hustler. I know you guys watched that. We covered it on the show. It was a thrilling documentary. Sonny was one of the talking heads because she's a legal expert. And she comes with she has a legal background. And she said to Andy, they're going to be requesting the tapes. So now Sonny's getting involved. I'm like, let's get Sonny in that show. Give her a diamond. But maybe we need like a lawyer presence, a Phaedra Parks. I don't know. Have we had other lawyers? I'm sure we've had others besides Phaedra, but we need someone sort of in that realm, I think, to really uncover a lot of these things because, or maybe a journalist. Maybe we get someone, a Lois Lane type. I know Lois Lane's a fictional character, but maybe we get someone, a Nancy Drew or a Angela Lansbury type. Is Angela Lansbury still alive? Let's get her on the show. She's learned a lot when she did 100 fucking seasons of that show, Murder, She Wrote. I'm sure she learned a thing or two. She might be 90 plus, but I'm sure she could get in there and get some answers to the questions that we all have. So I just hope that we're taking some of this advice. Oh, you guys, and I mentioned that Hulu documentary. Did you guys see? I don't know if this was confirmed. So forgive me. Take this as a rumor if it's not confirmed. I'm not sure. Unclear. However, I did read that they're doing like another housewife documentary on Hulu about the Jen Shah drama. And so I can't wait for this Shah documentary because it's going to be all about all the Shah legal pyramid scheme from the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. That's going to be thrilling TV. And I've seen people say, like, why isn't NBC doing these? Why isn't Bravo doing these? And I thought that too. But actually, I don't think they could do it because then if NBC Universal, which owns Bravo, if they were doing a documentary about Jen Shah and the Bamboozled Jane of it all, then I feel like they would uncover too much. They would have to get rid of them for the show, and then it would also lose credibility for the Housewives show, so they got to keep it separate. But I'm glad ABC, who owns Hulu, you know, Disney owns ABC, Hulu, the whole nine, so really it's all Mickey Mouse is the one stepping up to the plate and giving us these documentaries for the people. So again, just let's applaud Mickey Mouse in general. I think Mickey's given enough to the culture that he's already someone we should be celebrating. But now he's given us these Housewife and the Hustler documentaries about all of our shady housewives. And so I just have to applaud Mickey Mouse here on this program because that mouse stops at nothing. That mouse is searching out all the rats in the Bravo universe and putting documentaries on them. So God bless. God bless. I'm in a mood today, you guys. I'm in a mood. I'm just in a mood. I don't know. I watched this episode and I really Loved it. Again, I thought it was just so fantastic. But by the end of it, I was like, I was a little bit upset or something. And I'm not even sure why. Maybe I was like partially upset that the season's over because I want it to keep going. But then I was also partially upset. It was just like they were all so, I don't know another word to say other than in cahoots by the end of it. But I just got like a little bit angry. And I think I was angry like on behalf of Sutton, for instance. It was like she never got the apology. Erica Jayne was so mean to her. And then by the end of it, somehow it was like Sutton was apologizing to Bamboozled Jayne. I was like, she bamboozled them all.
It's the greatest bamboozlement I've ever accomplished.
It was the greatest bamboozlement she'd ever accomplished. I felt like by the end of it, every single person on that stage was like had her back and everything. But me as the viewer, I didn't feel that. By the end of episode 2, I thought of the reunion, I had more of Bamboozled Jayne's back than I had expected. I think we all watched part 2 of that reunion and we came out of it like, oh, I feel bad. But I watched part 4 and I was like, she was such an asshole to everybody on that stage, including Andy. Including Andy. I thought she kind of talked. She's like, oh, what are you rolling your eyes at me for? You know, she's like yelling at him. And he just kind of took it. And when Carol Radswell did it on the Real Housewives of New York reunion, when she went after our dear Andy, Andy didn't take it. And so I just felt like everybody on that stage, they were bamboozled. And I don't even blame them because I would have been too. But as the viewer, we have like kind of 10 steps back from the whole action. And I wasn't feeling it. Oh, before we really get into the meat of the episode, I feel like we're already over 10 minutes in. We've already gotten to the meat of the episode, but I do want to mention Dorit. We haven't talked about this yet. Dorit was robbed at her house. It was very scary. I read the news article, so I don't know much about the details of it, but somebody broke into the house, broke the door or the window or something and came in and stole some stuff. Luckily, everyone is okay. They just took a bunch of her goods, her wares. And we know that she's okay, but that would be scary. That would be scary. I mean, I can imagine being asleep and then all of a sudden the whole house is broken into. And I don't know the details. I guess we'll learn it on the show. Also when Andy was on The View, this is why you got to watch The View every day, ladies and gentlemen. You got to watch it because Andy was on The View and they asked him about the Dorit robbing stuff. And they said something about how, or I don't know if he said it or one of the panelists said, but they said it happened the day after she had said on the reunion that she pays a retail price for everything. So they sort of alluded that maybe that had something to do with it, which was surprising. I would have never thought that. Ah, you guys, lots going on in the Housewives universe. And Beverly Hills is filming again, which means we're going to get the season probably sometime spring of next year, I guess. And it can't come soon enough because I want to see what's going on. So then, let's see, we opened this week's episode with Crystal asking about the anger. And that's when Erica Jayne's like, what do you want me to do? I'm angry. Hear it in my voice. And it's like, I only hear Alvin and the Chipmunks in your fucking voice. Like, it's either that or she's got the real low, deep baritone. It's either B. Arthur or Alvin, Simon, and Theodore. That's what I hear in your voice. I can't really focus on the anger part of it because the vocal, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to Erica Jayne's vocals. It's like one or the other. It's super high pitched or it's really low baritone. And so I'm not focusing on the anger. But also, everyone keeps saying it's like they want to see that about the victims and the orphans and the widows. And she did kind of give us, I want to give her that. There are a couple moments where I felt like she did sort of say stuff about the victims, but it didn't feel like enough to me. No, it certainly didn't. And then Andy asked, well, why is it weird for friends to ask you questions? Because they're all scared of her, really. And Andy says, look, you lash out at all your friends, and so they're all scared of you. But really, I do want to, I will side with Erica Jayne on this one, because also, they're not really, they're co-workers. They're co-workers. By the end, when they're all done with this show, they're not going to be calling each other up, right? Like, that's all. Calls it as we sees it. I do love that we all pretend, though, like, as we're watching, they're like, they're best friends. And some of these ones are friends. These ones are friends. I think the Beverly Hills women, again, they're in cahoots, so they are friendly. I just don't know. I don't know when this show ends, when the lights go down, what's going to happen. Will they be friends? Unclear. Erica thinks some of the women are against. She's super defensive. Kyle and Dorit apologize again for their husbands laughing, and they were all laughing. Although I did think they lied to our faces, because there was a moment where I don't know if it was Kyle Dreet, were like, oh yeah, that's not what we meant. Like, we weren't laughing at you. And I was like, we saw the footage, you guys. We saw it, and you couldn't have been more clearly laughing at this woman. Like, it was so abundantly clear. I've never been more certain of anything in my life. Not since when I stepped out of the closet and announced that I'm a big homosexual have I been more certain that something was true. It was, they were just laughing right in her face in the scene. I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes, heard it with my own ears. So don't try to fool me. You ain't going to fool me on that one. You ain't going to bamboozle me into thinking that it was not something that was happening when it was happening, Dorit and Kyle. So we need Mary on your ass. Where's Mary from Long Island to call that out? Mary from Long Island. Was it Long Island or Rhode Island? Doesn't matter. Mary's a star. Okay, so then Erica's doing a lot of staring ahead work. So what I mean from that is she's obviously disassociating at certain parts of this reunion, but it almost looks like somebody like had to like put in batteries. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of how to make this make sense. So the women are usually either looking at Andy or looking at each other, but Eric was doing this thing where she was doing a lot of like looking ahead off into the distance. And it almost looked like, you know, when you get like a doll as a kid. I'm looking right now at my Rosie O'Donnell doll. It makes sounds. It's from the 90s. I'm in my office. That's what I'm looking at right now. But the Rosie O'Donnell, or one of those dolls that's battery operated, sometimes the eyes come alive, you know, and then when the batteries start to die, it just looks ahead and it stalls out. That's kind of how I was imagining, like almost like a Furby with the batteries died. And then Erica Jane just sort of like looks ahead and then just looks like a Furby. And then somebody had to come replenish the batteries, and then she gets more in the action. But it was a weird thing to just like look, stare ahead. And I mean, she's going through a lot. So who among us wouldn't disassociate? I mean, I'd disassociate in a minute. But that's what was, that was interesting me, interesting to me. Interesting to me. Now I have that Vanessa Williams song stuck in my head. You go and save the best for last. I can't sing. I'm so sorry, you guys. But so Erica says they should have been asking her questions. She got mad about that meeting they had behind her back. And it's like, do you want them to question you or not? Because when they did question, you yelled. And then now you're saying you want them to question. It's like, pick a lane. Pick a lane. I don't believe it. And then she talks about something about her credit card being rejected when she was patting the puss on Broadway. I didn't know what was going on there. I missed it, and I couldn't rewind it. It was, like, not working, so I don't know. It was something about Broadway and a card. That's all I heard. So then there's this moment about the Bethany of it all. So Bethany had heard that Tommy Two Tones was having money trouble, and Bethany went up to Andy and Kyle Richards, Kyle the Splits, and said, look, Tommy Two Tones got some money troubles. And so they both heard it, and Erica Jane says, why didn't you tell me about it? Why didn't you come up to me and tell me about it? And they're like, look, it didn't even register to me. Also, Andy's like your producer and whatever. Like, what's Andy going to come give you a call and say, hey, your husband's a scammer? Andy's excited about that. He's the producer of a TV show you're on about your life. He's not going to call and give you a heads up about that. He's going to call and give producers a heads up about that and be like, hey, look into it. You know, I'm sure a PA on set of Real Houses of Beverly Hills got the heads up about that, but I don't think Bamboozle Jane did. And same with Kyle Richards. The Splits is a producer on this show, essentially. I mean, this is her program. She's not going to call Erica Jane and give her a heads up. She's too is going to call up the PA, say, hey, look into that. And they're going to be like, thanks, Splits. Let's go and film the scene. So they know what they're doing. They're not going to. And Bethany, too. Bethany's producer. She lords over this franchise like the ghost of Big Calf. I mean, Bethany, she's got her hands in all of them, like the puppet master. She's got a little, those skinny hands all in her, all these franchises, them skinny girl hands. you guys, I was watching The Real Houses of New York reunion season 10. I was like rewatching it over the weekend when I was trying to get rid of clothes, you know, like I was going through my stuff. And it was cracking me up because they were all questioning Bethany about her bologna business. It's a very small moment that just like keeps coming up in that reunion where it's just like, you don't know a bunch about bologna. And it was like, oh my God, it's so funny to me that she had a line of skinny girl bologna. And I always talk about the skinny girl ham, but like, I don't remember her also having bologna, which I know they're all deli meats. I get that it was just a line of deli meats, but also what the fuck? Why was there a line of deli meats? And how did How did any store pick that up? Like, I can't imagine in what world is a Walmart or a Target or in Ohio we have Giant Eagle, or here we have Gelson's, and these grocery stores. It's like, how is a grocery store buyer sitting down and being like, oh yeah, we need to carry that skinny girl bologna. Like, that'll appeal to customers. It's like, what? This woman from The Real Housewives is selling bologna. Let's get it on our store shelves. Like, who's thinking that? And then also, like, what was the business meeting like when they're all sitting around like, okay, we got the successful margarita. We're going into jeans. What's next? And somebody in the skinny girl, empire is like, oh, we should do bologna. And they're like, yes, let's do that. Let's do bologna. Let's get into the ham and the bologna. Let's do the whole thing. Let's sell it. Skinny girl bologna. Let's do it. Anyway, what were we talking about here? How did I get on that? Okay, so let's see. Oh, Andy says, how are you paying for all your glam? She's like, you know how much I make. And it's my paycheck. You know my paycheck. You just said that. And I think what Andy was trying to say is like, yeah, I know how much you make, but like, why are you spending it all on your glam when you got all these A, legal bills, and also you took all the money from the orphans and the widows, allegedly. So what are you doing? It's like, that's what he was trying to say. And she just, it just like went past her, and she got real mad and defensive. And it's like, well, maybe even optically, you know, the whole world is against you. Everybody, the court of public opinion is that you took all this monies. So maybe you shouldn't put all the monies back into your glam squad. It's like, maybe, just maybe, you should do your own rouge for an episode of television for once. I was the guest on the Drew Barrymore show. Guess who was doing his own makeup? Me. I was powdering my own face. Okay? And so I think Bamboozle Jane could do the same. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to compare her television career to mine. I'm just saying. When I appeared on Watch What Happens Live via remote guest on Zoom, you know who is powdering my face? Is myself, my own hand. My left hand did it. And if my left hand can do it, so can Erica Jane's. I'm just saying, maybe if I was in all these court cases, I'm not sure that I'd be hiring a whole glam squad. Maybe it's just not the best. And then speaking of the glam squad, Andy brings up the waterproof mascara because Camille Grammer graciously tweeted to get it going on the show. And he says, you always wear waterproof mascara. And she's like, yeah, I always do. I always wear waterproof mascara. But I had a new makeup artist. It was a fluke. And then Rinna's like in the background, like, yeah, it was a different makeup artist. And I was like, this is all a lie. I don't believe any of it. Maybe I'm wrong. Even the way that Rinna was sort of defending her, it just didn't feel real to me. It felt like a lot of BS. Maybe I'm wrong. I need to have a better attitude. I feel like I have a bad attitude about it. I know I feel like I'm being negative this episode, but that's just how I felt. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about it all. You guys yell at me. Yell at me in the comments or DM me or something, but I don't know. I thought it was a bunch of bullshit. And we're all just saying yeah to it. I get it, but it's not, doesn't make it real. Then Erica says she spoke to Tom at the assisted living and says it's sad. She cries about it. And I think the biggest thing for me to understand, or the thing that I have the most trouble understanding, I should say, is that she divorced this man, filed for divorce because he was cheating, did all these awful things. And then she finds out that allegedly he implied her in all of these lawsuits and all of the money situation and really made her life a living hell, if we're to believe everything that she said. But then also that she still has love for him. And that she still is crying about him, but we don't see those same kind of tears when it comes to like any of these victims or anything, which is fine. She didn't have a personal relationship to the victims. However, they're still victims in it. And he really made her life a complete and utter living hell, a living hell. And throughout the whole relationship, he had the upper hand in this whole thing. And again, had cheated multiple times and all of these awful things. I've been with Matt for over 10 years. We've been together a decade plus. And if any of one of these things, if I found out he was cheating a bunch of times, or if he had all these bamboozlement schemes and all that stuff going on that implied me or that got me into it, I would fucking kick him to the curb. And Even though I had at moments love for the man, I would still be livid with him. And maybe some of you out there differently. Maybe you're with your spouses and you would still have a lot of love left for them. But I can't imagine if this a human made my life such a living fucking hell. This isn't just like he cheated once and then went away. This is like crazy shit that could put her possibly in jail or and made the whole world sort of against her. And so if we're to believe all of that, then I don't get why she wouldn't hate his fucking guts. Like, cause that's how I would, but again, we're all different human beings, but she seems to have such love. She's crying about him in the old care home and with the black eye and stuff. Wasn't that from an eye surgery too? I don't think it was just like he fell, but it was like they showed the black eye. She was crying so hard for him. And then she said he calls every day, calls 5 times that day. But then I also, even though I know he's allegedly got this big mental decline and everything, I don't understand, like, he seems to also hate her because he's implying her in all this lawsuit stuff and cheated on her a bunch of times. So I don't even feel like he would have that much love for her that he'd be calling 5 times. None of it makes sense to me. And I don't think it's supposed to make sense to us. And maybe we're all going to find out in 5 years from now or whenever these lawsuits are done. Maybe we're going to find out that, look, we've been bamboozled for however long it's been.
It's the greatest bamboozlement I've ever accomplished.
Maybe we're all going to find that out in a year, 2 years, 3 years. I don't know how long it'll be. But Andy says, have you asked him why? He says, have you asked him if he did it? And that catches her off guard. She says, why would you leave me with millions of lawsuits after me? Why would you do this? And I thought, why didn't she ask, did you do it? Because that's what Andy was saying. Did you ask if he did it? And if you talk to him all these times and you ask him these questions and you allegedly ask, like, why would you leave me with millions of lawsuits after me? Why didn't she ask, did you do it? Because if she asked him point blank, did you do it? And he said no, she could help use that information to get her out of all this mess. And if he said yes, then at least she would have some peace of mind. I don't know. I don't know if I'm making sense. I don't know if that made any sense, but you guys get what I mean. I think you guys understand. You guys get it. None of that relationship adds up to me. She says that he doesn't acknowledge anything. He's incompetent and she's the punching bag. And then Erica says he's not capable. And she says, I shouldn't even be telling you that. And I thought, okay, that's like a trick saying, like, I shouldn't be telling you that. Like, you're telling us the secret information. Meanwhile, I feel like there's other more pertinent information you should be telling us. We got to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more. I want to remind everyone to go to acast.com/everythingiconic for all episodes of Everything Iconic. And wherever you listen to Everything Iconic, be sure to hit subscribe or follow to ensure that you get all new episodes of Everything Iconic. Hit subscribe or follow on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to this podcast. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Did you see in the LA Times, they did this interview with the people who did that big story that Kyle couldn't read? And they answered all these questions. And it was super fascinating. It came out today, the day of the last reunion. So go check it out if you haven't, because I found it very, very fascinating. Very fast. And they do say they reached out to her people for comment in that article, which is standard journalistic thing to do. That's not, you don't print an article about someone and don't reach out for comment. And they said she didn't know when they reached out for a comment, she didn't know exactly when the article would be printed, but they gave her a strict deadline, or her lawyers or whoever, a strict deadline saying, we need this information by the next day or whatever it was. So I don't know. Go read that Q&A. It's interesting. So Andy asks about the $20 million. She says, no, it's not $20 million. Her lawyer apparently wrote to E! News, Page Six and all that stuff, but they didn't print that. And then he asks about the $14 million she spent or whatever. And she says, no, it's $2 million per year. And she says, that's what everyone else here spends. And okay, well, that's still a lot. Also, one of the things that I think we're all overlooking here is when we're talking about these monies and we're acting like she somehow scaled back, but like even with the new house she moved into and stuff, it's still like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Like she's acting like she's slumming it or something. But meanwhile, it's like the majority of us in the world or in the country, it's a lot of money that she's spending on the glams and on the even the new apartment or that condo or whatever she's renting now. That was a lot of money. And so there's just a disconnect. And I feel like she's trying to make us believe that she's slumming it. And I just don't think that that is. Meanwhile, Kathy's just doing her makeup. God bless. I love that she was just on the other couch, just a powder on her face. Yeah, she again, Kathy Hilton can do her own makeup. So can Bamboozled Jane. Am I right? Ladies, am I right? And then Erica says, well, I'm being sued by people who think I have some magical pot of gold. And it's like, what do you call that $2 million that you just spent? Ugh. Then they talk about the 3-year time frame because none of that makes any sense. And there has been lawsuits over a decade. And she says, well, I want it now. And she says she wouldn't have been on a reality show if she knew this. But I thought, but you're on a reality show now and you know this, and you're filming a future season of the reality show now and you know this. I know it's her funds, but it seems like with what's going on, I don't know that I would want to. Here we are all judging, right? Here I'm sitting behind a microphone doing a whole hour of whatever we're going to record today of judgment about this show and about these people's lives. And that's what reality TV is, right? We're all judging these people. I wouldn't want to be on a reality TV show. I don't think I'd be good at it. I wouldn't want that kind of, I wouldn't have to answer to the court of public opinion and to people like Andy on a reunion stage who we love. So I don't think that I would want to be on a reality show. And so I think when you're going through all this and you know that the court of public opinion is going to come after you and you're going to have to answer all these questions while you're going through all these lawsuits, I just think if you knew this, wouldn't you get off the reality show and find other ways to make the money in a more controlled way? For instance, if she were to leave the show, yes, she'd lose that big paycheck, which I don't know that is much money after all the glam money is taken out, after all of the taxes, all of that kind of stuff. Because whatever she's making on the show, I'm sure it's a good paycheck. But we know from this reunion episode, she's still paying the glam. She does have an expensive apartment or condo that she's living in. So how much of that money is really coming in? And if she pivoted and got off of reality TV, she would A, not have to pay the glam anymore. She could get a big ass book deal where she told her side of the story, but really she could just make up whatever the fuck she wanted because it'd be her book. And she could make a lot of money that way, right? Like there's, I think, other ways where she could tell her story in a more controlled way while still making money without being on a reality show that's controlled by Bravo, a network. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy for thinking that. It just seems like that would be a smart, if I was the lawyer, I'd say like, let's get off this show that you can't edit and control. And maybe you could do a documentary special where you have editing control, or maybe you do a book or something else. It seems like this is a silly thing, but I don't know. I don't know. Then Andy asks Sutton about the partner who she said left the firm. And Sutton's like, I don't know the name. And Erica's like, help me, tell me the name. I need names. She said, I worked hard to be open and honest, and I was just getting shit for it. Then Erica brings up Dorit's lawsuits, you guys. She brought up Dorit's lawsuits. Huh. I couldn't believe when she did that. I couldn't believe that she brought up the lawsuits. Dorit's lawsuits. And that's a House of Cards waiting to fall down too, I think. Maybe I'm wrong about that. And of course, our hearts are with Dorit and the whole family. PK, bye-bye. We're with them. But the lawsuits, I don't know. Are they going to come out at some point? Unclear. Then Erica says people have to ask her questions to her face, but they said that they did, and she was just an asshole about it. Again, I think maybe just get off the show if you don't want to. I wouldn't want to play by the rules of the game if I was Erica Jayne either. I would want to get off the show. And then Andy asks Rinna about talking behind people's backs, and Andy asks a question from the audience. I don't remember who it was, but he says, Rinna, you've always been the one to go after people and gossip behind people's back, and now you're not even asking any questions. And then Rinna's like, well, I really regret that. And then there's like a whole montage of Rinna just talking shit about everybody on the show, from Yolanda to Kim. We got an Eden Sassoon flashback. You know, sometimes Eden Sassoon pops up in a flashback. I'm like, huh? Tim Allen from Home Improvement. I just go, huh? What is happening? Who was that? Where'd she come from? And then I remember Eden Sassoon with her salt wig. Then Rinna told Erica what she was walking into, apparently, in that one dinner party. Garcelle asks if Erica ever apologized to Sutton, too. And Erica says no, and she's not going to. And then even Andy sticks up for Sutton and is like, Erica says, well, when it's your turn, I will not give you the grace. Meaning Erica got mad at Sutton at that dinner party. You remember when she made that threat of like, I'm coming after you. I'm going to. Well, apparently Erica's saying in the reunion that she meant that when people are after Sutton and when the season's about Sutton, because it's cyclical, it's always going to be about one person. There's always going to be one person in the hot seat. Erica said she meant that she wasn't going to give her the grace. But then they all ask her and they say to her, well, that's not what you said. That doesn't make sense, because the words that you were talking about, it doesn't add up. But then we just, and Andy even says that's not how it came off. Andy's doing a good job calling her out. I really believe that Andy called her out. I'm not sure we really got where we needed to be, but it was a thrilling performance. Again, I just have to salute Andy, because I thought he did a great job. Then Erica says, oh, this was interesting. So Andy says, look, that's not how it came off when you were threatening Sutton. And Erica says, well, in Potomac or Atlanta, it would have been a conversation. And she also, in New York, she says. But I thought that was interesting to me. The way that she said that, the way that she said Potomac and Atlanta, it would have just been a conversation. I don't know. It's just, and Andy brings up the Queens of Bravo saying Erica was never called a bully, even though Garcelle was sitting on the stage in those scenes at the dinner party, and Dorit was calling Garcelle a bully. And meanwhile, Erica's being such an asshole to everybody at the dinner party, so was never called a bully. So that was fascinating. Sutton reveals that she hired security for a week. I still have like a page and a half of notes, you guys. I'm looking at this, and like, we've been talking for 35 minutes, and I still got a page and a half. Whew. Normally, I don't even recap these reunions, but here we are with Beverly Hills. Got to get into it, because you know what? They saved the best for last. Just when I thought a chance had passed, you both saved the best for last. That song is really good. Did you see Giselle from The Real House of Potomac dressed up as Vanessa Williams? They look alike. They're both stunning. Okay, so then Sutton reveals that she hired security for a week. And then Kyle says, oh, we're in a Joe Pesci movie now. And I thought that was rude. As an Italian, I just was offended by that. I'm not sure exactly why, but I am a fan of Joe Pesci. I am a fan. My Cousin Vinny, to me, is one of the greatest comedies of all time. Home Alone, who doesn't love it?
Look what you did, you little jerk!
Who doesn't love Home Alone films? By the way, there's a movie called Pups Alone. I don't know if anyone has seen a commercial for it, but it's about puppies who are home alone. It's basically Home Alone, but with dogs. And it looks terrible, but also looks like the kind of film I'm going to watch one day. I'm going to accidentally put it on one Saturday morning and watch it. Okay, so what else is happening? Kyle's giving good reaction shots. There was one moment where Erica called Sutton a See You Next Tuesday, and Kyle gives the perfect reaction shot. She knows how to do that. And somebody needs to say, though, like, you can't speak to people like that. And the whole Sutton-Erica thing, Sutton is a nice Southern woman. I get it. She doesn't want to raise her voice, all that kind of thing. But I do need someone to say, like, stop it. You can't talk like that. You just called her to see you next Tuesday. That's unacceptable. And everyone just sits there quiet with their lips zipped. And it's too much. And Sutton says, look, I thought we made up at Del Mar, and I thought you were being sincere, and that's you lying. You say you're not a liar, but that's you lying. And Erica's like, no, that's playing your ass. And she's agreeing that she's playing Sutton. And who else is she playing? Is she playing us, the audience? That's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like we're all being played and bamboozled. And then, oh, somebody asked if aliens took over Rinna's body. Yeah, that's when we talk more about the Kim, Yolanda, Denise of it all. And Rinna's like, I have to live with myself. And Andy even brought up Lucy, Lucy, Apple, Juicy. He calls it Juicy. They all agreed, though, that they hated Vanderpump. They were all, like, in agreement in that. It was like, oh, it's not the same. Like, Andy was like, well, isn't it the same with Vanderpump, too, as what happened with Yolanda and Kim and Denise? And they're like, no, not with Vanderpump. She didn't show up to the reunion. They were all just like in agreement of it. And then they just moved on. They just moved on. And even the way that Erica is speaking to Andy, I thought was awful. And he laughed and was like, you're a piece of work. And I understand Andy's in a hard position too, because you can only ask this person the same questions over and over. And if they're giving you the same answer, then what are you going to do? So I get it. Andy, there were certain questions Andy asked 100 fucking times. That's why they were to show us in parts 1, 2, and 3 of the reunion, Andy asking her some of these questions and her answering. Because he asked him a bunch of times, and I don't think we could ask more of that from Andy. But he asked again about the car situation and how she says how one car only flipped, the other one didn't flip. She said she found Tom in 9 hours, not 12. And I think we can all be dumb and try to believe it, but I don't believe it. There's no police reports, which there don't have to be police reports. Just because there's an accident doesn't mean there needs to be a police report. But she says he called, Tommy Two Tones called her and said, I think I'm close to the backyard. I see the bridge. And she's like, I know where that is. And people started to interrupt her when she was telling the story. And she said, can I talk? Let me finish. And I felt actually the reason that she was saying, like, don't interrupt me, was because she knew that if she was interrupted and lost her train of thought, she would screw up the story. That's how I was feeling about it, which maybe me thinking things too deep. Maybe I'm being a Danny Downer and just am too pessimistic, but that's what I felt like she was saying, like, don't interrupt me. Not because she doesn't like being interrupted, but because she knew that if she was interrupted, she'd screw up the story and it would all come crashing down. And then, oh, we get into the snowing thing. So Andy says, well, why was it snowing where your child was? Because this was supposedly Pasadena. Why was it snowing? She's like, we're not going to get into it. And I was like, we need to get into it. I need to know why it was snowing in Pasadena. I do know the Vanessa Williams one said sometimes the snow comes down in June, but I don't believe that it was snowing in Pasadena.
Sometimes the snow comes down in June. Sometimes the sun goes round.
That song is just so good, you guys. I'm going to go listen to it when I'm done here. I was so excited to put it on the soundboard. We had to save the best for last. Okay, so then what else is going on? Andy thanks her for answering all the questions. And she says that, oh, she's serving the victims by cooperating in court. And I guess that's something. I guess we should, that's a good thing, I guess, that she's cooperating in court for the victims, I guess. Kyle says that she's happy that things are cleared up about the accident. And I thought, how? It's more confusing now than it was before. I don't understand. We're not talking about why it was snowing. No one, we didn't get any clarity about why one car flipped and the other car didn't. And like, why did she say that both cars flipped then? And then why? I don't get it. Andy says that she showed sympathy for the victims. And I thought, did she? Was it like when we were doing this wrap up, I thought everyone, I was like, were they there? Were they in the same place that we were watching? Because I felt differently. But me also, I'm sure things are edited down. I'm sure for after a 12-hour day, it did feel differently in the moment. I'm just saying, I don't know that it came across as the viewers as her showing a bunch of sympathy and clearing things up about the accident. That was my take, but maybe some of you feel differently. Everyone watches these shows different. I don't want y'all to yell at me, but I didn't feel that. And then Kathy really wrapped this whole thing up. This whole thing was about Erica Jane and this big lawsuit situation. And then Kathy just wraps it up by apologizing for not coming to Garcelle's dinner. And she really threw production under the bus because she said, look, I told them I was supposed to go to your house for the dinner party. And she said, I had COVID tests 3 days prior. I was cleared, but they wouldn't let me come to the dinner because they said I need a couple more days of quarantine. And that was her whole note. She folded up that piece of paper note. Kathy came with a whole note. She came with notes, and it just said Garcelle. That's it. That's all Kathy wanted to clear up at the reunion, and I love that for her. Love that. She's back next season, too. It's revealed. Kathy's coming back. Good. Good. Then everyone gets in their final thoughts. Erica apologizes, sort of. And then Crystal, oh, she apologizes to Crystal for snapping at Crystal. And I hope Crystal lets her ass have it next season. I'm kind of feeling like Crystal, I'm noticing a shift in Crystal. And she's, of course, going to shift because everyone's second season, they shift a little bit. They get more comfortable in front of the camera and they know what they need to do for the show. They know they want to be portrayed a certain way. And so I think Crystal's really going to come to play next season. I'm very excited about it. And then Andy asks people about what redos they'd have. Sutton says she'd redo her relationship with Crystal, which we know they're friends now, which is good. Rinna says, I don't even know what Rinna says. I wrote in my notes, Rinna seems not nice this day. And then, I don't even know what that means. Then Erica says, I came here with an open heart. And that's what she says. Then Andy ends with Kathy's butlers coming out and giving everyone a martini. And here's the thing that was really fascinating to me about the end of this reunion. They're all drinking the martini, which, by the way, they have the olives in it. And Erica Jane, after she drank the martini, she was eating the olive like a cartoon villain. Did anyone notice that? Anyway, that's not the point. The point is they come out with the butlers. And of course, they're Kathy's butlers. But remember when Vicki Gunvalson on The Real Housewives of Orange County, it was her last season she was a friend of. And remember, they shuttled her out before that last wrap up. Because normally the friends of aren't at the end of it. Normally they shuttle them out and then they just have the main cast members. And that's what they did to Vicki. Remember, she threw that big fit in the dressing room. She's like, how dare they? And then the cameras caught her and she's like, get the fuck out or whatever. You know, she was real pissed about it. And here on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, they have Kathy the whole time. She wasn't there at the beginning of the first part reunion or whatever, but then they have her out for the rest and they have her up for the wrap up, which was shocking because that's not normally what happens with a friend up. Normally they wheel them out and say, get the fuck out. And then not Kathy though. Kathy's a star. They let her stay. You guys, that's The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And we made it to the end. They saved the best for last. In my opinion, maybe some of you guys hated that last part of the reunion, but I loved it. I loved it. Thought it was great. Wanted more. I don't know next season or next week. Are we getting a shit they should have shown episode? What are we going to do without Beverly Hills? You guys, I don't know. I'm going to lose it. I do want to encourage everyone to pre-order my book. I know Beverly Hills listener just to this podcast, they're going to tune out until next season Beverly Hills. Some people just listen to the Beverly Hills recap. So all those people, if you're not going to be joining us for Everything Iconic going forward until Beverly Hills comes back, I want you to pre-order my book. It's called How Do I Unremember This? Get it from indiebound.org. They'll connect you with your independent bookseller so you can buy it, support your local independent bookstore, or you can get it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, online. There will be an audiobook. There will be an ebook. Those two formats will be available for order soon. They are not up yet. Right now, you can just pre-order the hardcover, but it's going to be a beautiful hardcover. I haven't seen the hardcover yet, but I'm excited. So I'll put the link in the episode descriptions, but go pre-order that. It's out March 8th, but pre-ordering is super helpful and important for authors and for publishers and stuff. So I appreciate all of you who have pre-ordered. Thank you. And I'm going to try to do some live dates around the release week. So there's going to be a handful of hopefully live dates or at least a book signing appearance things for the week of March 8th next year, which will be here before we know it. Also, I want to say I have a holiday podcast called A Very Merry Iconic Podcast where my co-host and I recap holiday movies. Mostly we just chat about stuff for about 45 minutes and we have a good old time, but we sort of loosely base it around holiday movies, which we love. Love, love, love. We just did an episode about Four Christmases, which is an unhinged Reese Witherspoon, Vince Vaughn movie. And we talked extensively about Country Strong with Gwyneth Paltrow because, I mean, that's where we go. You guys, find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Vanderpump Rules. Any thoughts about Vanderpump Rules? It's trucking along. The episodes are okay. There's stuff going on. It seems like I keep coming on the show to try to talk about Vanderpump Rules, but I'm not sure that everyone culturally is interested in Vanderpump Rules anymore. It seems like people have moved on a bit. And I understand that. I respect that. It just, I think the season's okay. I don't think it's a terrible season. It seems like we're getting somewhere with all the Brock, Sheena, Lala stuff. However, I just don't know. You guys have to let me know if you're interested. I think moving forward, we'll see. Are we going to cover Vanderpump Rules, Winter House? What are we going to do on this this episode of the podcast. We'll have to see if Beverly Hills will be over. So let me know what you guys want me to cover. Maybe we'll dive into Winter House next week. I don't know. Unclear. Anyway, you guys, I want to wrap this up by just doing one of our cheesy little cool downs. Let's all take a deep breath in. Hold it. Breathe out. Let's take another deep breath in. Hold it. Breathe out. I always do these cheesy little cool downs because people reach out to me and they say it helps them remember to breathe. And I think so often we go about our busy days and we forget to just take a moment to breathe in and breathe out, center ourselves. There's a great app called Headspace, which this isn't an ad or anything, but it's a great app if you're looking for guided meditation, longer meditations. You can also hop on YouTube. There's great options for meditations and things to just slow you down for a minute. I always know when my head is swirling and there's tons of thoughts or concerns or worry in my head. Sometimes I need to just take one of those 5-minute guided meditations for myself, and then I can go about my day with more success. You guys, I love you all so much for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Sometimes the snow comes down in June. Sometimes